BBC News.
Hello, it's Business Matters from the BBC World Service. I'm John Bithrie, joined today by David Moser from the Beijing Capital Normal University, joining us from the BBC Bureau in Beijing, and also from Stanford, California, by Alison Van Diggelen, host of Fresh Dialogues. Now, Alison, you're in California. I don't think anyone gets to vote there until June, so it's some way off. But talk to us about how Donald Trump is viewed there at the moment. I mean, what are his chances in the most populous state of the US?
Well, he's burnt some bridges, let's say. Overall, immigration has become a scalding hot issue in the United States and in California, and Mexican immigrants are getting the brunt of this vitriol, despite the fact there's been a net migration of Mexicans out of the U.S. since 2009. My report begins with the Republican nomination hopeful Donald Trump speaking at a rally last year.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems. And they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting.
Let's meet some Mexican immigrants in Silicon Valley. Victor Arellano is in the gardening business, but not what you might think. He runs a thriving landscape gardening business that employs about 20 people, and he's building his dream house on 7 acres in Silicon Valley. Arellano would like to see Trump apologize.
To all the Mexicans that he has offended, 98% of the Mexicans that comes over here, they only want to work and try to make a living. Sometimes they really make you upset, you know. They come and they do some of the most hardest work, you know. I put ads in the paper looking for laborers whenever we need it. But it's just Mexicans, the ones that comes to apply for the job, you know. I never had an American saying, hey, I want to start working as a laborer and do this and that.
Arellano was a math teacher in Guadalajara and now serves a demanding clientele, many of whom work for Silicon Valley tech companies.
There is two kinds of Americans. The ones that they see that this country was formed by immigrants and then everybody is doing their best to make the country better. And there is people that they don't want to work and they blame that they are not having the best car or the best house to the immigrants. Most of the jobs that the immigrants do are jobs that the Americans don't want to do.
Diana Albarán-Chicas is a director of in-orbit satellite testing for a major satellite manufacturer in Silicon Valley. Her MIT degree helps with that.
I'm very proud to say that I am Mexican-American and that both cultures have had a big impact on who I am and that I represent both countries very proudly.
How does Albarán-Chicas respond to Trump's anti-Mexican insults?
My invitation would be to come out to Silicon Valley and meet with a lot of these prominent Mexican-Americans that are actually pushing for innovation in Silicon Valley, changing the way companies here are functioning and working. I think he needs to be surrounded by people that are making a difference, that are influential.
Meet Guillermo Galindo, an artist from Mexico City who moved here in 1992. This month, his exhibition, Border Cantos, begins a national tour at the San Jose Museum of Art in the heart of Silicon Valley. It documents the human tragedy of the U.S.-Mexico border. Is there something you would like visitors to your exhibition to go away with, a thought or a feeling?
I like them to resonate, like the instruments, to resonate with the exhibit and take that home. That is a seed that is going to grow on them and that improves the conditions in which people is crossing the border and the treatment that immigrants have in the United States and in the rest of the world. It's totally a global message, and it extends in the macro and in the micro, no? There are borders between us as people, and there's borders that extend through nations.
What would you like to happen to these borders between people and countries?
I would like to build bridges instead of borders.
Alison, your report there. Obviously, you met several members of the Mexican American community. Was your feeling one of overriding disappointment among them in Donald Trump? How did you come away from those interviews feeling?
I think disappointment is a big understatement. Diana Alvarez Chicas, she called it frustration, but I think that again is an understatement. I think there's a deep anger that he should say the things he has and no one's held him to account. These three that I interviewed are influential Mexican Americans who have succeeded, and they're personally offended by some of what Donald Trump has said.
Do you think that goes for people who have crossed the border from Mexico, people, Latino voters generally in the United States? I mean, given that some of the polls show quite a lot of support for Donald Trump, I mean, just looking at Nevada as well last week, many voters came through for Donald Trump from across all races, including Latino voters. I think sort of 44-45% Latino voters opting for Trump over Rubio, Cruz and so on.
Yes, I think Donald Trump, he's built a strong brand. He is a charismatic businessman and he's a genius at manipulating the media. For some analysts, they're saying that his support among certain groups is hard to fathom. But I think one of the things that appeals to people is they're fed up with the frustration at shrinking middle class, lack of employment opportunities, disgust at the dysfunction with the status quo. And in the parlance of Silicon Valley tech, which I'm very familiar with, Donald Trump is offering a disruptive alternative. And I think people are ready for that. So that is part of the explanation for his popularity.
Do you get the vote there, Alison?
I do. I am an American citizen. Yes.
And will you be voting? Would you consider voting for Donald Trump? Can I put that as a direct question?
Put on the spot here. I wouldn't consider it. No.
Okay. Let's speak to David Moser in Beijing. David, what's your view of this race from where you sit at the moment?
From the Chinese standpoint here, people are taking some Schadenfreude. The Chinese press looks at the debates, at the spectacle, especially of the Republican debates, and the sort of amazing spectacle of Donald Trump, and sort of saying to its readership, the People's Daily, you know, do you really want to initiate some kind of system of two-party electoral democracy like this in China? I mean, it just looks so dysfunctional from over here. That's quite a sort of propaganda coup for the media.
Right. So the official Chinese media is using the level of debate in the U.S. Election race to say, hey, stick with us, guys. It's, you know, the communist single party system is better.
Right. Exactly. They're, first of all, they're saying, look how angry the American population is in this supposed country of wealth and prosperity, that they're even willing to entertain some buffoon like Donald Trump just because he's an outsider.
And Alison, I mean, given the long-term demographics in the US, the fact that there will be an increasing proportion of Hispanic voters, I mean, as David was saying there, you know, this is bad news at this point for the Republican Party. It can only get worse, can't it?
Absolutely. The statistics show by 2060, they're expecting about 30% of the US population to be Hispanic. Another statistic that might be interesting to your listeners is PolitiFact, which is an independent, nonpartisan news organization. And it has calculated that 76% of what Trump says in his campaign statements are either false or largely false. And only 7% are true or mostly true. So these statistics, I think that's quite telling. And that he's coasting on his brand, this Trump brand, which people tend to associate with success. And they think what he's done in certain businesses, he can translate into politics and the world economy, which is nonsense in my view.
I'm sure he'll get pinned down between now and the general election, should he get the Republican nomination. Let's pause for the moment. This is Business Matters. It's the BBC World Service. Let's get a recap of the Business Matters headlines